This program comes to you by electrical transcription. The Treasury Star Parade. With Frederick March, Lawrence Eldridge, Enya Gonzalez, Al Goodman in his orchestra and chorus, and Walter Houston as Master of Ceremonies. Our slogan,
Millions for Defense.
This is Walter Houston, ladies and gentlemen, in another of a new series brought to you by the Treasury Department. For our next three programs, we are particularly fortunate in having with us one of the happiest, most charming families in the theater, the Eldridge family.
Coming, Mother!
Hey, Walter, what is this? What's this Eldridge family stuff?
Oh, pardon me, Freddie. Ladies and gentlemen, Frederick March and his lovely, talented wife, Florence Eldridge.
Who is our guest tonight?
Why, you're the guest.
Oh, no, we're taking over.
Oh, I get it, yes. Well, then we have with us the ward of President Manuel Quezon, the little songbird from the Philippines, Enya Gonzalez, who says...
The people of America have not known very much about the Filipinos. We are a Malay and Spanish people, very happy, very gay. We like to dance and laugh and sing. Americans so often mistake us for Japs. We do not like that. We do not like being mistaken for anybody. We are proud of being Filipinos.
And there are people all America is proud of. Now, when I ask Enya what she's going to sing, she says...
It is only a little native song about planting rice. Very gay. Perhaps you'll think it's so gay it is not hard work to plant rice. But it is very hard work. Of course, it's not so hard to sing it.
He was known as a novelist, but often he wrote as a poet and spoke with a poet's burning vision and gift of prophecy. Thomas Wolfe wrote about America, and tonight, interpreted through the voices of Frederick March, Walter Houston, and Florence Eldridge, he speaks to us of America.
And we walk the streets.
We walk the streets forever.
We walk the streets of life together.
And alone. America. It is the place of the howling wind.
The hurrying of leaves and old October.
The hard, clean falling to the earth of acorns.
The place of the storm-tossed moaning of the wintry mountainside.
Where the young men cry out in their throats and feel the savage vigor. The rude, strong energies.
The place also where the trains cross rivers.
The It is a fabulous country.
The only fabulous country.
It is the one place where miracles not only happen, but where they happen all the time. It is the place of the immense and lonely earth, of the parched and burning desert, and the lush green swamps, of upthrust mountains and fertile valleys.
It is the place of fat ears and abundance, where they grow cotton, corn, and wheat, the wine red apples, and the good tobacco.
It is the place of the red barn and the sound of the stable hooves and the bright tatters of old circus posters.
It is the place of the immense and pungent smell of breakfast, the country sausages and the ham and eggs, the smoking wheat cakes and the fragrant coffee.
And of the lonely hunters in the frosty thickets who whistle to their lop-eared hounds.
The bitten colors in October, when all of the wild, sweet woods flame up.
Where the young men cry out in their throats and feel the savage vigor, the rude, strong energies.
Where they hear the howl of the wind and the rain, and smell the thunder, the soft, numb spitting of the snow.
Where they are drunk with the bite and sparkle of the air, and mad with the solar energy.
Where they believe in love and victory, and think that they can never die.
The strong joy of our youth, when we knew the most fortunate life on earth would certainly be ours, that we were 20 and could never die.
It is the place of the lovely girls up north who have rich fathers, of the beautiful wives of businessmen.
It is the place of attractive girls with good jobs and husky voices who will buy a round of drinks.
It is the place of the straight stare, the cold whiteness of the lovely Boston girls. It is the place of ripe, brainless blondes with tender lips and flowery smells.
And of the girls with shapely arms who stand on ladders picking oranges.
There are also immense and wonderful girls with the grip of a passionate bear who have such names as Nilsson, Lundquist,
Jorgensen, and Brand.
It is the place where spring comes and the young birch trees have white and tender bark, of the thaw of the earth and the feathery smoke of the trees. It is the place of the burst of grass and buds, the wild and sudden tenderness of the wilderness.
It is the place of the crack athletes.
Of the runners who limber up in March. It is the place of the 10-second men and the great jumpers and vaulters, of the crews out on the river and the coaches coming down behind them in motorboats.
It is the place of the baseball players.
The easy lob, the soft spring smackings of the glove and the mitt, the crack of the bat.
It is the place of the fighters.
The place where the champion looks over his rival's shoulder with a bored expression. It is the place where they like to win, always.
And boast about their victory.
It is the place of quick money and sudden loss.
It is the place of violence and sudden death.
The fast shots in the night, the small town killings, of the ugly drunks and the snarling voices and the foul-mouthed men who want to fight.
It is the place of the loud word and the foolish boast and the violent threat.
But it is also the innocent place, the place of the child and laughter, the place where families drive to the country on Sundays, the place of opulent picnic baskets, the place of women who work in kitchens and go in the afternoon to play bridge, of the men who sit by fires and listen to Roosevelt on the radio, of children playing in empty lots.
It's the place of Hollywood and fabulous picture stars. It's the place of New York and Wall Street and big limousines, of Chicago, Kansas City, Tulsa, and Pocatello.
It is the place of the pool room players and the drugstore boys, of the cheap hotels.
It is the place of the college boys who spend the old man's money and wear fur coats to the football games.
The place of mile-long freights and their strong, solid clanking, heavy loneliness at night.
The place where you come up through Virginia on the great trains in the nighttime and rumble slowly across the wide Potomac and see the morning sunlight on the nation's dome at Washington.
It's the place where women with fine legs and silken underwear lie in the Pullman berth below you.
It is the place of the dark green snore of the Pullman cars.
And while the fat man shaving in the Pullman washroom grunts, "Now, what's this? What's this we're coming to? Washington?" And the thin man glancing out the window says, "Yeah, this is Washington. That's what it is, all right. You getting off here?" And while the fat man grunts, "Oh, me? Nah, I'm going on to Baltimore."
And these are the things that we remember of America, for we have known all her thousand lights and weathers. And her face is the rugged face of her people. Her moods, the surge and source of her people. Her heart, the tranquil beauty of her people. Her wealth, the heritage of her people.
And we are that people. And from my good will.
Picture of America. But these things also we remember. With all our sturdy virtues, our strength, our faith, and our courage, with our will to do, and even die, with our love of homes and churches, with our passion for the principles of liberty and democracy, there is an easy taking for granted of those things which our forefathers labored and fought to bring forth upon this continent. With the simple credulity of children, we have suffered our enemy to prepare and to rise against us. We know the forms and faces of our enemy. We know he would steal our earth from us, destroy our wealth, ravage and despoil our land. And yet, we have suffered our enemy to prepare and to rise against us. We're an easygoing people, a people easily imposed upon. This is a place of quick anger and sudden cooling, of resentment that flames a day and dies. Remember the Hanai? Our resentment lasted only for a day. Remember Pearl Harbor? For weeks, our anger flared in righteous indignation, and then died down. Then came other disasters, and yet others. Well, how many do we want? How many disasters do we need before we awaken to our danger? We of America are at war. How many times must our enemies strike before our slow, steady anger will rise and hold? How many disasters can you take? Two more, three more, six more, a dozen? You'll have them. As many of them as you need. People of America, awake! Now! This is your crucial hour.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps some of you might think that that speech was pretty strong. I don't think it was strong enough. There's no time for complacency or smugness. Or taking things for granted, or letting George do it, or trusting to luck. It's up to us. This is the most crucial period in our history. We've got to face it. There can be no slackening up. There can be no letting down. Let's get to peak production. Keep those factories running at full capacity. Those assembly lines moving at full speed. And let you and I help ensure they're doing it by buying United States defense bonds and savings stamps. Buy as many as you can, as often as you can. Save a part of your salary every week. Join the Treasury's payroll savings plan. Because when you buy defense bonds and savings stamps, you're investing in your future and the future of America. It's your country. Keep it yours.
The United States Treasury Department thanks the distinguished artists who gave their talents to this performance. Walter Houston, who acted as our master of ceremonies, Frederick March, Florence Eldridge, and Enya Gonzalez. Orchestra and chorus were under the direction of Al Goodman, writing by Hal Block, John Natouche, and Malcolm Meacham. Production by Willie Mae Bacher. This is Larry Elliott speaking.